21 minutes after 6 o'clock here on Dakota's Best AM 1390 KJAM. This is Coach's Corner live from the KJAM studios in downtown Madison. Always busy and always ready to go as well here with Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Paul Vold. Love to give a big thank you to Madison Girls head basketball coach and Stacey Anderson for coming on the show again. Lady Bulldogs next game Saturday. That'll be the first game of a doubleheader here on AM 1390. About 3:45 that game against Canton will start off with the pregame show. Start about 3:30 right here on AM 1390 and also available with the live stream video as well at AmazingMadison.com. But now joining us in studio, our next guest, fresh off the busy day that is National Signing Day for football, Dakota State University assistant football coach Josh Oaken. Coach, thank you so much for coming on the show.
How you doing, Paul, and Trojan Nation out there?
And doing all right. I'm sure all the listeners as well. If you haven't seen or haven't heard as well, National Signing Day today. I'm sure the office very busy today, you know, confirming everything, making sure the recruits that we wanted coming in have gotten signed and made official. And it looks like a pretty good core coming into this Trojan football class there, Coach.
Yes, 35 signees, and the way it normally works out, I think last year we had about 51 or so, 55.
Somewhere around that range.
Yep, on this exact date. So not that we need to compare too much, but I think we're on track for what we want to do and to bring in a similar-sized freshman class that we had this year. Even though we lost a lot of good seniors to the class of 17, the guys we got sticking around for spring ball, it's one of our bigger teams. And you can see that in the weight room. You can see that when we're throwing around in the gym on 7-on-7. And a lot of that just comes back down to what today is, National Signing Day. And, you know, some people think recruiting is about jerseys or, you know, being cute with the Twitter and whatnot. And certainly that's part of it. But I think for us, it's recruiting is, you know, even more than a 1 or 2 year process. It's, one thing we do really well is getting in touch with high school coaches and seeing these kids in action on campus. Never too early to plug our team camps in the summer, but a lot of these kids, their teams, especially in the area, Paul, you know, the Howards, they come to our team camp, which is on campus. And hey, what a great time for them to also think about, what could I study when I come to DSU? And what's it going to be like when I live in the dorm? Because when you're at the team camp, you're in the exact same place
there
our freshman would be. So just a lot of, you know, work and the process that kind of just wraps up in today. And it's also kind of just you know, just getting started, really. You know, 35, but, you know, we probably need 50 roughly to be where we need to be position-wise in certain places. So and let's get a few more.
Exactly. It's the early period for, you know, this is the big day where everybody, you know, makes things official. But I'm sure there'll be more and more trickling in, you know, as the next couple of days, maybe the next couple of weeks. Before too long, hopefully we'll get a few more signees, that your team will get a few more signees as you draw closer towards the spring as well.
Yeah, and there's no really, for us, there's no set deadline. You know, other schools, they have to, you know, NCAA, so for us, if we sign a kid in March or April, or if he's transferring in the summer, as long as he's got the credits and did okay on tests, things like that, by August, passed the physical, and a couple other things, we're ready to go. A couple weeks of practice, and let's play some football.
Exactly.
So we're still building and growing our team, but our core and the guys we got on campus now working out, going to class, that's also what's going on too as well.
Yeah, and also, Coach, talking about the size of the recruiting class, you know, we talked about, you know, 35 players signing just on today low, but the diversity of the schedule, or not the schedule, but the recruiting class as well. You got your area kids, got some around the greater area of South Dakota as well, reaching down to a couple Nebraska schools as well. Also reaching out to far west as well. Got a few kids coming in from Utah. You get the Gatorade National, or not national, but the state player of the year out of Alaska coming to DSU as mm-hmm. well, Greater Washington as well. I mean, the reach for Dakota State University, you know, just kind of bringing in all these kids from across the area, across the state, even across the nation, it certainly speaks to the level of how much work you and all the coaching staff brings in for this recruiting trail for your football team.
Yeah, it's funny you remember the state player from Alaska.
Because
I
it's
remember.
Just it's just completely out of I don't want to say a randomness, but it's just kind of, hey, there's something worth noting.
Yeah, and I, you know, a couple weeks ago I specifically remember sitting down. Now granted, it was at Pizza Ranch.
Yes.
Great place to eat, if I may add that, but yeah, Brenner Furlong, his father came, and they were checking out some other schools in the area. Professor Mike Roach was kind enough to join us and offer his take on major or different plans, and for kind of different ideas that he would have had. And so that's really cool too. You know, not every day you see someone from the great state of Alaska, you know, rolling in through Route 34 to check out beautiful Madison and the Dakota State campus. So. You know, usually get Washington, Coach Huddle, our offensive coordinator, does a great job of going out there, and he has ties out there. Utah, we have, you know, our very own Hagan Hines is from there.
Hagan so Hines, no stranger to the coach's corner.
Yep, through his father and those recruiting ties. I think he brought a bunch of kids over one of their very first weekends that, you know, coincidentally and conveniently was also DSU Discover Day. So that's big for us. And sure enough, you can't forget our local guys. You know, maybe their names were very familiar names to Lake County or Sioux Falls. And also important to note is just the surrounding states. And, you know, some of these kids from Minnesota, Iowa, you're paying the same tuition as, you know, somebody who maybe who grows up right here in Madison. And so the kids, you're saying that's kind of the trend is Minnesota. I think they did, I wasn't a part of it, but the coaching staff, we did, you know, a couple guys get in the car, stay in a hotel a couple days, try to hit, you know, 30, 40 schools in a weekend, couple day time. Minneapolis was one, obviously so concentrated there. They did one in Omaha as well. And you saw, and just with kids who are visiting from Omaha, only a quick 3-hour drive up, Route 29 there. So, and, what I love about, you know, recruiting here to Dakota State is, Martin Luther King, I remember that Monday we had on-campus visits, and I don't know if you were working that day, Paul. I
oh,
bet
of
you
course.
Were,
there's no off days in
you
radio.
You tend to like working. So.
I do. It's not, you know, it's not my decision, but anything to make the station just a little bit better, that's for
but,
sure.
But if you recall, if your memory is that as good as I think it is, it was probably negative 18, negative 20. Actual,
it was around that
or
range,
wind
yes.
chill, wind chill. So
yes,
real temp would have been, you know, maybe just below, a hair below 0 degrees.
That it was because and, I had to do a basketball game that night.
Oh, how about that?
Yes, how about that?
That's called work right there.
Working for a living, my man.
But that is a instance where we are walking around campus, and really walking is not the right word there. We are darting, building to building. Okay, here's the Trojan Center, here's East Hall, and here's the Beacon Building, and let's go back in because I know you're freezing. But sure enough, some of the kids who show up, surrounding area, Minnesota, Iowa, you know, Nebraska, they don't even wear a coat.
Of course.
So
this is natural. I mean, it's like it's meant to be.
I don't understand that, and I'm sure the parents didn't understand it. But certainly for football or academics-wise, definitely a great choice to make the decision, you know, signing day, call up Coach Anderson or Coach Miller, whoever your choice may be, and say, hey, I want to be a Trojan. I'm going to put my name on this line. I can't wait to get started. So,
Coach, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air, you know, with the winding down of signing day and everything. You know, it's one of those things. You go to meet with a recruit. They either come to campus or you go see them wherever they're at their school or at their home or even, you know, just any chance you can to go meet a recruit. And one important thing that I'm sure is a little different with each and everybody, you know, we've had Coach Miller, we've had Coach Huddle, Coach Anderson on the show just kind of give us a little bit of a synopsis of what they're bringing on a recruiting trail, meeting with a recruit, kind of giving their sales pitch, why a football player should, a prospective football player, come to Dakota State and play football for the Trojans. So I just want to ask for you, I'm a recruit. You know, okay. I'm kind of on the fence. I'm kind of debating. You know, I got a couple other schools. You know, they're interested.
I'm just going to assume you're a prime recruit here for the sake of the argument.
A prime recruit. Well, I appreciate that. Yes. I'm the guy you've been eyeing, watching the game film, talking with coaches, players, parents, the whole nine yards, teachers and everything. Coach Oak, why should I come and be a Trojan at Dakota State University?
Well, Paul, first off, it's, we've gotten a chance to get to know each other past couple of weeks, past couple of months, seeing your tape going back and forth on the text and the phone. And we're starting to get to know you not just as a football player, but as a man. And, Paul, we see great things in you, whether we hear from your academic advisors at school or just seeing it in your test scores. Academics is important to you, and we know academics is going to be important to you when you come to Dakota State, because football necessarily may not be your future. So let's take care of your academics first, and we offer so many different great majors here, Paul. You know, whether you like computers, whether you want to be a teacher, special education, what are some other great ones that we got here? A lot of business management, exercise science, and we're starting to grow in that as well. That's going to be actually in the future, Paul, kind of outside of our recruiting pitch here. In the future, that's going to be big, is kids who want to come in and maybe be a strength coach one day.
Of course.
We're going to be able to offer that kind as a major. So that's just growing. But let's talk a little bit about football and the position you play. I know kind of your football background here, Paul. So let's say you're this Dante Hightower type, just explosive defensive line, going to get coached by our own Coach Glover here. We have a great history at this position and on defense of what we're trying to do. We've had two AFCA All-Americans in the past. We're trying to see if you can be one of those guys. And if you can come in here, buy into what we're trying to teach. We think we have great kids here, first and foremost. I think we've kind of established that with our relationship. And we'll see you bloom and grow and improve as a player. Maybe you'll be that next guy, AFCA, All-Conference, All-American, try to contribute to what we've been doing here on the field for the Dakota State football Trojans. So, and Paul, you know me, I talk a lot, so that's actually the 5% of that.
Coach, you already got me. I'm signing. Where's the papers? I got to get this thing signed. Wow, that was.
And let's talk about the scholarship offer.
Yes, let's talk about the scholarship. You already got me sold. I'll play for nothing.
Play for nothing? Okay, I'll tell Coach that right now.
Now, hold on. Let's not start signing out the paperwork. That was one heck of a sales pitch right there. And I'm sure, with a lot of kids that, with the area that you cover, first off, what is the area in recruiting that you tend to cover is there a certain area in couple of states that you tend to cover? Coach Anderson and Coach Glover kind of cover the South Dakota area. Coach Miller, I believe, is Minnesota. We had Coach primarily. Anderson a yes. couple of weeks on the show talking about everybody's area. Kind of forgot, things tend to slip away with each day that comes. What's the area that you cover?
Yeah, for me, I'm more of a help as needed guy.
Okay.
If it's, we're correspondence with somebody, maybe out of state, but definitely things like in-campus visits or one of my jobs in the past has been drive down to Sioux Falls and grab them from the airport.
So of course.
I'm kind of like that coffee cup guy. Which is not a bad thing necessarily.
Absolutely not.
I think maybe plenty in our listening audience remembers those, be the person who grabs the coffee or picks up the donuts. Boy, I could use some donuts right now. Sorry to be random there.
That's perfectly all right. It helps to have a guy like that, especially with someone as a bubbling personality as such as yourself, to be that guy that you kind of go as where needed to kind of bring in, some of those kids coming up from out of Sioux Falls and bring them up from the airport. Helps to have that yourself as the first guy that they see.
And it and you may think, oh, I got to go all the way to Sioux Falls. What am I going to talk to these kids about? That's actually the fun part because, boy, I have 40, 50 minutes in a car or a van, whatever it is that I may be blessed to be driving, and I get to talk about DSU football, or I get to talk about living in Madison, or I get to talk about just other things that I think will be attractive to the area. Every time we drive to Coleman Egan, I can still, show them, point out different things, and I give them, tips along the way. If you're driving 80 miles an hour, that's fine. And then other places, don't drive 80 miles an hour. So I have a lot of fun with it. So, and then you get the kids, or especially the kids from California, you know, coach, is it really going to be this cold? You know, the coldest game I've ever played is 50 or 60 degrees. And I say, son, we haven't even just gotten started yet. So we'll worry about your cold weather in a little bit here. So it's fun getting to just different people, different areas. And, you know, you do build a rapport even early on. So.
And now, Coach, that, you know, signing day, the early period has started. You got the 35 kids already committed to be Trojans for the incoming fall as well. You know, what are the next kind of couple of steps with some of these signees? I know that there's a signing party coming up on Sunday over at the Pub House in downtown Madison as well. You know, what are the next couple of things, you know, just to keeping in contact with them over the summer, getting them ready and getting them acclimated to Madison, also DSU, and also football as well?
So certainly this is the paperwork and the signing. That's really the biggest part. And at that point, they know scholarship, major, intended major, things like that. But you hit it right on the head there. Don't forget, folks, come on out to our signing day party. Everyone's welcome. 5:30 at the pub. I know they're not normally open on Sundays. Last year we had a jam-packed, and I am not kidding.
Yes, it was.
It was jam-packed, back rooms, side rooms. Bring your kids as well. It'll be fun. So we'll see everyone out there. But moving forward, not too much. Some of these guys, and you know, especially a lot of the kids from this area, they're involved in basketball, whether it's Howard Tigers or ORR Raiders. They're busy as well, and they need to be going to school, class, things like that. So hopefully they're staying in shape in some way, shape, or form. And right about June or July, though, that's when it's really, do you guys want to come out to campus maybe a little early? You know, so one thing I kind of joke or, but I'm serious, and when I talk to parents or different families is, if you have your, you know, graduation party is so important, right, Paul?
And
you
of
should
course.
Know that being from the great state of Minnesota. But maybe have that a little bit earlier. And then, you know, do your hugs and tears and kiss them goodbye so that little Johnny can get here a little in July and get started on lifting and just learning the playbook, getting used to college life, being away from home a few weeks early. That really helps that transition into August and fall camp. So we're just eagerly anticipating waiting for that. Certainly some kids in the area, Sioux Falls or close by in Iowa, Minnesota, maybe they'll come out to our spring game or watch a spring practice. Not too much from a football standpoint, but you know, at the same time, we're getting ready, and they need to be getting ready as well. If you want to be a part of what we're doing on the field in 2018, then make sure you're ready. So,
and especially speaking of 2018 as well, Coach, now that, you know, the signing period with signing day come and gone, now it's talking about off-season, you know, planning with coaches and also, you know, kind of getting a feel for what spring practice is going to be like. I know it certainly doesn't seem like it now. Next couple of days, we're supposed to get some snow. And
bring it on.
Bitter cold temperatures. You're the one talking the big game. I see you got your big heavy coat and everything. You're ready to go. But, you know, with the off-season program for the coaching staff, talked with Coach Anderson a couple of weeks ago, just kind of, you know, getting a feel of maybe some new things want to try out in practice that could maybe make its way into fall practice and leading up to games. You know, just what's, from your perspective, kind of off-season schedule with working with coaches and game planning for the spring?
Yeah, it's, as a coach, off season is actually an exciting time, because what is the job of a coach? It is to always be looking for improvement. And as a coach, as a competitor, whether you're 10-0 or 0-10, every time it's January 1st or end of the 2017, whatever you may, it's how can I get better? When what have I been doing that? It's kind of like you asked Coach Anderson earlier on, the other Coach Anderson. Boy, hard to keep track of all the Coach Madisons or Coach Anderson's running around Madison, and people are so crazy about them. But coincidentally, the Super Bowl, which just happened on Sunday, which I think you watched. It was a pretty good game.
Yes, I did.
Regardless of who your rooting interests were.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
But really, that should be, day after Super Bowl should be the quote-unquote New Year. So they should change the New Year's holiday. I don't know who I'm going to have to talk. Maybe President Trump or somebody who could start a campaign. But anyways, how can we get better? So Dakota State, we won 8 games last year. Previous couple years, we'd won 6. So Do we look back and say, we've done so good, there's nothing we need to do, we're going to relax and take it easy? I think we all know what happens when, whether it's a business company or a sports team, falls into that trap, is you're going to get humbled. And so we're kind of just trying to gear up for the next year. What do we need to do in spring, offense and defensively? So looking at film, maybe tweaking the playbook, not necessarily wholesale changes. How do we practice? Yeah, like you said, how do we practice a little bit better? But then, you know, first and foremost, how do we improve as coaches? And then how do we take that improvement and then use it among our players and implement that effectively? One other great thing, not to just be the total rah-rah guy, but month of February, and we've done this the past couple years, is have leadership training and development for our players. Doesn't matter if you're a freshman or a senior. Game of football is, guess what, you're a team. And I think we all know that teams and organizations don't necessarily flow and function well together unless you kind of have that growing process. And whether you're a young freshman or you've been around the block a couple of years, I think we can all improve as leaders. So what we do for that is kids will meet, and this is not with our coaches. We have a couple pastors in town, Pastor Brian Sagmo and Pastor Andrew Gross. So these are guys who are not, preaching from the pulpit and, brimstone and hell and all that stuff. But what they're talking about is life. And we're going off two different books, Simon Sinek, Leaders Eat Last. And then another one is Tony Dungy's, the great football coach he was, but also great teacher, Tony Dungy's, his uncommon book. So dealing with a lot of questions that aren't necessarily how do we get a first down or how do we get the goal line stop here, Paul. It's how do I improve my leadership skills? You know, do I speak up, or how do I hold my teammates accountable? And I think you could ask 10 different teams or 10 different captains and get 10 different answers, and they're all right. That's the thing about leadership is, I know one exciting thing about Super Bowl weekend, which I know we're going to get to, jump segments here.
That's all right.
And by the way, you can kick me off the show anytime you want.
Believe me, just keep going. We love it here on Coach's Corner.
Thank you. But you look at the Hall of Fame, right? They had some of the Hall of Fame announcements last weekend. You'll see every single personality or leadership type, whether it's the Tom Landry, the Mike Ditka, sorry, I'm a little biased.
That's all right.
Or obviously Vince Lombardi. So it takes different ways work, and what's going to most importantly, what's going to work for us. Really think a big part of our success last year, going from 6 to 8 wins, is we had a lot of upperclassmen. But not just having them, is having upperclassmen who are also leaders that are going to speak up in practice, and then moving forward, teach the younger kids, hey, this is how you do it. This is how, when I was a freshman, I learned to be a leader and in the huddle, in the locker room. Those are things that coaches can't necessarily take care of or do. At some point, you got to pass it on, and hopefully they can take it and run with it. And it's those who get it, it's fun to watch. And I think that's what's going to take us moving forward. How do we go from 8 wins to 9 wins?
Yes, okay, most definitely, Coach. And, as we start to transition here a little bit as well, you know, one thing that I certainly notice is one thing, it may be a little bit vain of myself, but something that people tend to see, you know, a slight upcoming, some changes in maybe the uniform, the equipment department as well. Last year,
oh, yeah,
the unveiling of brand new yellow gold jerseys, Trojan gold for the 2017 season. Now seeing something float around the Twitter sphere and the social media of possibly the introduction of maybe white helmets for the Trojan football team. And of course, those white helmets never tend to stay very white for very long, especially in football as well.
That's,
I know,
okay.
It's something that's all, that's a good thing though. That's a good thing. That means you're out there working hard to something maybe in development stages, more of a, maybe even a show and go kind of thing. Is there still early, something to be early out before we get those handed out to everybody coming in for fall practice?
Well, I just had this thought come into my mind. What if we had some white helmets when we were playing that Snow Bowl against Mayville State?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you
goodness.
Remember that game, Paul?
Do I remember it like the back of my hand. Oh, goodness.
Should have brought a snow shovel, but...
Should have brought a lot of things, but we didn't. We underestimated it on the walk over from the locker room to... good old stadium there in Mayville. It certainly was a learning experience, and we'll know better for next time, that's for sure.
Yeah, all your family who went there, they couldn't have warned us about the snow that weekend?
You know, luckily enough, I think most of them, if not all of them, were gone at that point. Believe it or not. My parents were graduates of Mayville State University, and they said, just be ready. Just be ready, plain and simple.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you can't show a white helmet on Twitter or to a recruiting visit and not talk about it, not get excited about it.
Course.
Obviously, players just go nuts. They already start asking about fittings and sizes.
Of course they did.
And it looks great, I'll tell you. Even other sports, I think white or the gray, kind of that in-between, looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I do like all of our different jersey combinations. We did have the new gold ones this year, which we debuted against that DW game, but we do switch it up. You know, we did the blue on blue with the home. I like that combo a lot. So yeah, white helmet. Don't want to get too many other details in that, but it's hard not to talk about it when everyone already knows about it, Twitter and and whatnot. So
need to do some teasers as the season draws closer and everything.
I guess
for next time, be sure to take that into mind heading into spring and also fall practice.
Maybe if there's a player who's given us a hard time in spring ball, we can say, do you want the white helmet or not?
Ooh, that is
I'll have to store that one in the
there you go. You have to keep that bank. One keep that one in the back pocket for future reference as well. Now, as we transition here a little bit, we've been alluding to it pretty much all night long.
No kidding.
And, well, especially in the last 10 minutes or so. But Super Bowl 52, the big game this past Sunday. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles coming out with a win in probably the most, unlikeliest of fashions, but nobody thought it was going to be, 41-33 shootout game like that.
Correct.
Over 1,100 yards of total offense in just a rack 'em up, had the stats kind of game right there. We both of us well aware, I'm sure most of the listeners aware, well, I'm a New England Patriots fan. I'm not going to lie to you.
I never knew that.
Yes, I had. I had my Fitbit on the entire game. My heart rate was consistently around 105, 110, that range as well. So some heart palpitations going on, especially for Uh-oh. That last drive. You know, I'm sure you were watching it with some of the other coaches. Nice soiree at your place. You know, what'd you think of that game?
Well, Super Bowl 52 live from Minneapolis, Minnesota. That was
the homeland.
Yeah, I guess. Sorry to all the Vikings fans who are still disappointed. you knew that one was coming. But yeah, even just still looking at the replays and the discussion that comes out of that is how does one team play so well and then lose?
They find a way. They find a way.
One thing that I thought came to mind was some of the injuries. There
yes.
was the injury to Brandon Cooks for the Patriots. But really, the story should just be Philadelphia Eagles and Doug Peterson. And how about Nick Foles? I mean,
absolutely.
How many times in history has it happened? What, I believe this is the third time?
Yes, I believe the third time.
Giants, Redskins.
Yeah, I was going to say the most recent one comes to my mind is the Giants when they won with their backup QB against the Bills.
Mm-hmm. Last Tetler. Sorry to all the Bills fans out there. I know Coach Schaub, our DSU baseball coach, is a Bills fan. So, but you can't argue with a close game. I think ratings were, I think the one time I checked, it was only down 3% from last year.
Just a little bit,
yes,
yeah.
But last year was a crazy good game. And this year, everything that's been happening with NFL ratings this year, I think that's pretty good. I think people liked it. I'm still talking to people about it. Whether or not, and the thing about the Super Bowl is, whether or not you like football, you're going to watch it.
You know, I kept hearing people around town, also here at the station, even back at some of my friends from college and other, they're just like, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. I don't even like any of these other teams. The Patriots are back in it. The Eagles beat the Vikings. I'm not going to watch it. And lo and behold, I keep getting texts from everybody saying, dude, are you watching this game? Of course I'm watching the game. It's my team in there. And they watch the game, watch the entire end. It's like, so you watched the whole game, huh? Remember when you said you weren't going to watch the game?
Called you out on it. Nice job, Paul.
Called them out on a couple of people, and they said, well, how about those Patriots? Yeah. I think definitely the injury to Brandon Cooks, like early into the second quarter, changed up a lot of the offense as well. I mean, he's their only down the field threat. That's the one thing the Patriots have been lacking pretty much since, since Randy Moss was still in town. That deep down the field threat.
Him.
Yeah, they have now to be Hall of Famer. Soon Randy to be Moss. Hall of Fame Randy Moss. And
awesome
just how
too.
You know, the down the field threat, you know, you can throw Gronk out there a few times, but he can't do it all the time. Mm-hmm. He's a tight end. He's not that big, you know, 6'5" wide receiver. Just go down, throw the hand up and just watch him go up and get it. You know, they tried a few times in the past and went out and got out a guy like Brandon Lloyd to be that guy. They get Brandon Cooks this past offseason as well. But then he gets knocked out early in the game. It's just like, okay, now we got to go back to the mantra of, you know, get those 10 yards and move the chains with Danny Amendola. You get James White out of the back. Rex Burkhead.
Rex.
Former Cornhusker as well. A lot of people happy about that. But, you know, to get a chance all the way at the end there and, you know, just like the way it was three Super Bowls ago, the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl, the round number two against Eli. Patriots had a chance. They threw the ball up towards the end zone. And
they had a chance.
Didn't come out
regardless
with a win in that one. But especially the way, too, the big also other controversy in that game, no Malcolm Butler the entire game. Defensively, did see a little bit of special teams time. But you sit down your best defensive player on a year where your defense – was completely decimated with all the big time players for Patriots. Like no Dante Hightower, no Allen Branch for pretty much 80% of the season, and whatever players you tried to plug in, you take out Malcolm Butler, and it certainly showed, giving up 41 points and losing the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, first off, one can tell that you are a Patriots fan, Paul.
This is the first time that I've actually had a chance to fully vent about this game without somebody, you know, kind of interrupting me and said, well, the Patriots still lost. How about those Eagles? And I'm just like, at least give me a second to fully digest and also unveil everything, my true emotions, without
it.
Being. But overall, I think the team that wanted it the most, the team that came out with the lead and is the team in the Philadelphia Eagles. Coming into this game, I was genuinely nervous about the play of Nick Foles, too.
And I know we could do a whole nother show or another 10 podcast series or whatever you want to do, but
absolutely.
I am of the belief, and being where we're at, Madison Sioux Falls area, Carson Wentz, that whole story, that whole argument, I am of the belief that the Philadelphia Eagles had a chance to be in the Super Bowl because of Carson Wentz and his production the last 2 years. Certainly it just didn't work out where he was able to hold that Super Bowl MVP or the Lombardi Trophy. Again, all credit in the world needs to go to Nick Foles. How many backup quarterbacks in the NFL or in college, or you know, I don't care what you're doing in life.
Uh-huh.
If you're making donuts, you know, not to go back to our donut argument, or if you're building a house, you know, maybe you're in that backup quarterback situation. You're not the leader. You're not the CEO. You're not the most appreciated guy. But you're ready when you have your opportunity. Nick Foles was ready when he had his opportunity.
Absolutely.
He's a Super Bowl champion. He's a Super Bowl MVP. And not many people are going to be able to say that. So heck of a story and, sure, a heck of a debate coming up. Nick Foles or Carson Wentz?
You know,
what do the Eagles do? Stay tuned.
You know, coming into, you know, when Nick Foles came back to the Eagles, I thought, you know, That's great for Nick Foles. Comes back into a team he's familiar with. A lot of the players that he played with under Chip Kelly, you know, maybe some of them gone here and there, but he's familiar with the city, the team, and also the offense as well. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago. I think it was 2013 or what have you. He threw 7 touchdown passes in one game. His cleats are in the Hall of Fame from that game as well. I always thought Nick Foles coming out of college as well, along with my boy Case Keenum a few years back.
Right.
These guys are going to take a few years to develop, but they're also going to be guys that are going to be reckoned with. And, you know, when everybody was getting nervous about Carson Wentz going down, and it's like the Eagles are going to nosedive into the first round of the playoffs, I thought, no, this is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles, he's capable. He's been there. He's been on 3 teams the last 3 years. That's not his fault. It's been change in management, change in coaches, different styles of offense. Nick Foles absolutely deserves, you know, for what he did at the end of the regular season, into that postseason championship game, and also into the Super Bowl, deserves all the credit that he has, but definitely going to be an interesting situation when Carson Wentz, you know, that leg and that knee gets fully healthy with that ACL. It's going to be a nice little debate as well coming up in the city of brotherly love. May not be a whole lot of brotherly love heading into next season.
Nice little segue there.
Yeah, exactly, as well. And Coach Doug Peterson as well, former quarterback as well. He knows the ringer, the NFL as well. I mean, he's been a great offensive coordinator under Coach Andy Reid when he was with Kansas City.
How about that? Another Andy Reid,
yes,
coaching disciple.
And now into the head coaching ranks, finishing his first year at 7-9, now wins a Super Bowl in his second year. Good for Coach Andy, Coach Peterson, I should say, come under the great coaching mind of Coach Andy Reid as well.
Don't sell yourself short there, Paul. You were, and I'll make all the Vikings fans listening to this happy, you were spot on with Case Keenum. Right when he was in there, you were saying, guys, he's going to give the Vikings a chance here.
He did
and
give
them
a chance.
And what does he do? He does great. He wins.
Exactly. Got him all the way to the championship game.
Another backup quarterback, really.
And, you know, he's a guy that his first few years, it was more of a camp arm, just try to, you know, make things a little bit interesting. Bounced around a few years. This has been said over and over throughout the entire season. Case Keenum, I'm sure he lost the opportunity losing that NFC championship game. Get himself a nice contract, whether it be with the Vikings or with another team as well. But I still think a team is going to take a chance on him, and they're not going to be – no debate as well. Quarterbacks, not so much a dime a dozen, but you find one that's capable enough, certainly make a good competition to wherever he decides ending up as well. Now, Coach, I also want to kind of transition a little bit now that we're in the offseason for the NFL. I'm talking a little bit about your Chicago Bears fan.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, how do you feel going into this offseason and also leading up to the draft as well, what your Chicago Bears should be focusing on, especially heading into next season too?
Well, it's big transition. New head coach, same general manager. And the funny thing is, even as a diehard Chicago Bears fan like I am, I feel like I don't get a chance to really watch that many games or the team. Just know that when I'm, you know, right here in downtown Madison watching after a, you know, church Sunday, and I'll be there watching some of the games and trying to boo the Vikings fans, but watching the Bears lose, I definitely feel disappointed. So I think from what I can gather, Chicago Bears Nation, certainly excited about Mitchell Trubisky, a young quarterback who, again, there's a guy who nobody was saying a lot of positive things about. What does he do? He comes out and does a pretty decent job. Doesn't take us to the Super Bowl, doesn't put these incredible numbers, but he's steady. He's efficient. I don't think the problem in Chicago was the coaching at all with John Fox. I just don't think the pieces were there, whether it's with contracts. You know, you saw Alshon Jeffrey in that game. That was his first year as an Eagle. He's a Super Bowl champion now. So things like that are, oh, well, maybe. But there's definitely optimism with the quarterback, with the new coaching, head coach Matt Nagy from the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll see. I know we also got baseball season coming up, and it was actually, I don't mind doing this, but 1994 on this day where basketball great Michael Jordan
I'm going to be a baseball player. Yes, yes, I saw that as well.
Well, you don't see that happen very often.
No, you don't see that very much, if ever, anymore. And hard to believe it's been, what, now 24 years.
Were you even alive in 1994, Paul?
I was. Okay, I was good. About 5 months old.
Yeah, we little shield.
Just a wee youngster in the arms of Jane Vold and also in the eyes of my father, Jim Vold, as well. Coach, you know, as we wrap up, I thought we were going to have a short show tonight, but we certainly killed 40 minutes right then.
Would you look at the time?
I mean, are we surprised at all that Coach Josh Oak, you know, comes in and just starts talking? I don't think anybody listening tonight was going to be as surprised as well. Coach, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Paul.
We are definitely going to be having you on again before too long, and hopefully over the summer leading up to fall and also into the next season as well for Dakota State University football.
Thanks, Paul, and go Trojans. We got a lot of work to do. 2018 season is here.
That it is. National Signing Day was today. Dakota State University Trojan football getting themselves started here before too long with spring practice and also getting those new recruits in for the fall of 2018 as well. Just before 7 o'clock here on KJAM, just want to let you know we got a couple more games coming up before the end of the week. Tomorrow night over on our sister station on Jammin' Country 103, we're going to be out on the road taking with the Old Hammer Middle Rutland boys basketball team against Lake Preston tomorrow night. There'll be a 7:30 p.m. tip-off from Lake Preston as well. But also right here on AM 1390, we got Madison girls and boys basketball on Saturday. That'll be a doubleheader from Canton. Starting about 3:45, bringing the pregame show to start about 3:30 right here on AM 1390 with the video stream also available on AmazingMadison.com. Thank you once again to all of our guests for coming in. Madison girls basketball coach Stacy Anderson for joining the show, and also Coach Josh Oak from Dakota State University football coming in and taking time out of their busy weeks to talk a little bit of sports as well. Well, we're going to be off next week. With it being Valentine's Day, I certainly owe it to my wife to take her out to a nice dinner and treat her on Valentine's Day as well. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, right in the middle of basketball postseason action. Hard to believe that next week is the last week of regular season games. We are going to get you a full look at those postseason matchups as they develop to us on AmazingMadison.com and also on here on Dakota's Best AM 1390. That's going to about wrap things up here for Coach's Corner tonight here on AM 1390. We'll have the show up later tonight so you can listen to it again in its entirety through the Coach's Corner page at AmazingMadison.com. 7:01 currently our time. This is Paul Vold signing off from the KJM studios in downtown Madison, wishing you a happy and safe rest of your week. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. This is Coach's Corner on Dakota's Best Classic Hits, KJAM.
Thanks for listening to Coach's Corner on Dakota's Best AM 1390 and at AmazingMadison.com. Tune in next Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Coach's Corner on KJAM.